For those of you who are new this morning, maybe you're visiting with us, or maybe you just kind of came and we came sporadically, and I just want to kind of bring you up to date. For those of you, I want to give you a little bit of background on something that took place here at our church, and because this morning I want to give you the kind of the full breakdown of some things that took place to us and as a congregation in 2009. But in September 2009, we presented an idea to you as a congregation, and the idea was this. Was that we were going to take up an offering on November 22nd, and from that offering, we were going to give 50% of that offering away. Now, let me give you a little bit of the background for those of you who are new for us this morning, or maybe visiting with friends or family, maybe your first time here. Every so often, we do a debt retirement offering here at the church. Sometimes it's once a year, sometimes it's a two-year commitment, different ways. And we had made a decision back in the early spring of last year as a stewardship committee. They had made a decision. We were going to take up an offering in November, and we were going to. Our goal was $100,000 to pay off $100,000 of our debt, which sounded like a great goal, a huge goal in 2009 with the economy the way that it is and all the struggles. And so, but back in September, back in late August, I really felt led and came to our deacons and went to our stewardship committee and just shared some things that God was laying on my heart. And really it was about obedience and just said, I think we need to give more away. And so I gave them a figure percentage of the $100,000, which was 25%. And they came back and said, that's not enough. We need to give more away. And so they made a decision to give 50% away, which I just got to tell you, as a pastor, I've talked to several pastors since that day and before that day, and I got to tell you, they just thought we were absolutely out of our minds, okay? That you collectively are crazy. I just want you to know that, all right? Because that's the comments I got. You're just crazy. That's just not going to happen. It's not going to work, you know, da-da-da-da. Got all these comments. So November 22nd, we took up this offering. And we as a congregation, you as a congregation, gave sacrificially, you gave in some phenomenal ways. That offering, many of you know that, we did the move that bus while I was away. We took in over $135,000, okay, as a congregation. And so, now see, that's pretty exciting. I know it's cold, but man, you're going to get warm with excitement, okay? Because I'm just so excited about this morning. But so that means if you do the math, we're going to pay off about $67,500 in debt. Okay, we got that part. $13,000 would be given to our missions committee to be used for foreign missions, which we do that with 10% of any offering at our church. For those of you who are new to us this morning, any offering we give 10% to missions. And then $54,000 was going to be distributed to local missions agencies and cooperative groups that minister to people within our community, okay? I just want you to know, that's a lot of money to distribute, okay? So our missions committee, they have met several times. And so what we have done this morning, what I want to share with you, I want to share how we've used that money so far. I'm going to take a few minutes this morning and share some of that with you. And I want you to know that some of the agencies, you may go, I've never heard of that agency. And you may go, why did that agency get more than one agency? And I don't want any, listen, here's one thing I want to make sure. I don't want anybody in here to go, well, my agency that I support didn't get as much money as that agency. Okay, that's not what this is about. Okay, because trust me, every agency that we've contacted, almost all of them have sent me notes this week to say, whatever you did, however you helped us was tremendous. Okay, and some of the agencies that we contacted as a staff never contacted us back. Okay, so you may go, well, where's the agency that I like? Okay, this is not about what we like. Okay, please. This is about what we collectively as a church, unified in body and spirit, made a decision, did it, and here's what we were able to do with it, or continue to do with it. Here's the first thing we were able to do. The Hispanic Mission Church here in Thomasville, they have a van that needed quite a few repairs. We actually initially thought about getting them a new van, but we talked to them and they said, no, we don't need to do that. And so we were able to send them to a local mechanic, and we are going to spend $2,500 to get this vehicle that they drive all throughout Davidson County, Randolph County, to the pastor who preaches at these different churches. He will now have a vehicle that he can use and take people with him to these other churches. So $2,500, all right? Just getting started, all right? Here we go. The next thing is called we're doing, and this is something that's going to be ongoing. We saved $12,000 of this money for food trailers. Now, let me explain this to you. There's several agencies in the United States that last year we did Hope Lives. We gave you guys grocery lists, and you guys all brought back boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes, half a tractor trailer load of food. We found that there's two organizations that for about $6,000, you can purchase an entire tractor trailer load of food. So we decided to be better off in 2010 when there's an opportunity for a Hope Lives, or if there's an opportunity for our local agencies and they need food, instead of us buying it collectively and not getting the best price, we decided we could buy two tractor trailer loads of food. I mean, that's a lot of food. I just want you to know that, all right? Last year, we spent $17,000 filling up half of a trailer, all right? So you understand what a great discount, okay, we're getting in that. So that's one way that we decided to share and use some of that money. The next thing is perishables. Let me explain this one to you. See, I'm just so excited. I got so many things. I got like 14 of these to share, all right? Wow, I'm glad I got more time. Perishables. Local agencies, some of them, a lot of them, if you go and you need food, you may go and you may get a box of non-perishable foods, but to get perishable items, milk, cheese, eggs, meat, is a little bit more difficult. And so we are working with, and just found out this week, there's several agencies within our area, groups within our area, grocery stores within our area, that will allow us to purchase gift cards that we can distribute to our local community agencies that can be used for only perishable items, nothing else, okay? So they can't use it to buy anything else but perishable items. So now people can go to some of these agencies that we support, and they can get these cards, and in the next couple weeks they'll be able to get a card, and they'll be able to go get perishable items. So not just, you know, some mac and cheese and a bag of rice. They can also get a gallon of milk. They can get other perishable items. So that's another way that you guys were able to help. See, $54,000 goes a long way. I just want you to know. The next thing we were able to do, and you guys already did this, you didn't even know you were part of this, the Foster Parents Association of Davidson County has a huge Christmas party each year. You bought $2,000 worth of Christmas presents for foster children in Davidson County this year at Christmas. Also this year, just a couple weeks ago, you didn't know this, but you helped pay the rent, buy baby formula and diapers and other needs at Alpha Pregnancy Center in Lexington. You were able to do that. You paid several months' rent. I mean, just so you know, okay? Like, pat yourself on the back. No, I'm just kidding. You did some good things here. The next thing that we were able to do as a congregation, and again, what we did is we sent out a letter to all these agencies and said, give us three Christmas wants, three Christmas needs, and we're going to try to do one of each, okay? And so that's how we got this list. The next thing in Crisis Ministries of Davidson County, we were able to buy an ice maker for their shelter, which you go, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun, okay? But when you go out and buy ice day in and day out, it's a whole lot cheaper to have an ice maker than it is to go buy bags of ice. And so they said, we need an ice maker, so we bought them an ice maker. You guys bought them an ice maker. The next thing you were able to do as a congregation is Davidson Medical Ministries. They help out those who need medicines, those who need attention and care during this time when they can't afford medicines. One of the things they were doing in their building to be more efficient were thermostat controls to kind of make sure everything in their building was being taken care of. That's something they had already done. We helped reimburse them for that. But also medical scholarship money for those who need money to buy medicines. We were also able to give money towards helping buy medicines for them. The next one we help do is Cooperative Community Ministry. This is an agency that we help out year-round. It's a part of our yearly budget. Here in Thomasville, they help pay bills. They do all types of things. We gave them $1,125 for Christmas assistance, but also know that they get a lot of money. We give them quite a bit of money throughout the year, so their total may have been a little bit different than some. The next one, are you tired yet? Okay, you excited? Are you getting there? Okay, good. Fairgrove Family Resource Center, we were able to already, you already bought Christmas presents for them, $1,000 worth. They also have a backpack program where the children get not only a backpack, but they get food, they get clothing, they take care of children in our surrounding area, different schools in our county. So we were able to sponsor for the year 30 children, okay, for the entire year for this backpack program. All right, so that was one of the things we did. Davidson Prison Ministry, those of you who don't know that, we have a prison ministry. There is a full-time chaplain that goes and speaks at our different agencies there, Davidson County Prison, and he is paid by however money he collects. And so we were able to give $2,300 towards his salary and help him out because he does that on his own. He gains his own support. But the other thing the committee decided was to give $700 towards a prison library so that they could have books and resources that they could use and continue to grow spiritually. So you're helping those that can't get out beyond those walls. And so you're doing some awesome things through your obedience. The next thing we were able to do is Salvation Army Boys and Girls Club. We're working with them. We are going to help them as well. They've got a bus that needs some repairs. We're going to help them get $1,500 worth of bus repairs. We are already purchased, and we're waiting them to come in, $1,800 worth of new Bibles. All right, and they needed study Bibles for their teenagers that come in, so we were able to purchase study Bibles for their teenagers and make sure they had those in their hands. We were also able to give scholarships towards students so they could attend the Boys and Girls Club year-round. The next thing, you getting tired yet? Okay, because I am. Whew. Slow down, I got 30 more minutes. All right, Hospice of Davidson County. Those of you who don't know what hospice is, probably at some point in your life you will. Okay, if you've got a loved one that you will end up caring for in life, you will know what hospice is, and you will learn what an incredible agency they are for us as a church. They do so many things for some of you, some of your families, and have done and will do in the future. So we were able to help in their new facility they built in Davidson County. We were able to do several things to help complete that place. That building, monitors so they could hear those in their rooms, shower heads, bookcases, mobile wheelchair ramps so they could get people in and out. So just some incredible things we were able to do with that. Davidson County Senior Services, we were able to purchase exercise equipment for them. For those senior adults who need exercise, they can come to that location, they can get exercise and have a place to go, not have to pay a gym membership and all those great things. Also, Liberty Baptist Association, we were able to give $1,000 for Christmas assistance for children and people in our community in need. The next thing on here is future Hope Lives events. We don't know. A lot of you have asked, when's the next Hope Lives? We don't know, okay? When God laid that on our heart as a staff, we didn't say this is going to be annual event every March. We said this is what we're going to do right now. And so to say in March we're doing that again just the same way, probably not. We'll wait and see what God lays on us in the direction he wants us to go. So that is a total of $52,731, all right, that we were able to disperse. Now, we're still waiting for several agencies and different people will still respond and those type of things, but we were also able to give, and I told you initially, the $13,000 that was given to our local missions, our missions committee here to use for foreign missions. And one of the things that they chose to do with $5,000 of that is we've begun, as many of you know, a partnership in Guinea-Bissau, West Africa, and in the town of Gabu, they're wanting to build a Bible college, and they need $20,000 to build a Bible college. So we jump-started them with the first $5,000, and so they have the ability to begin that, all right? So in total, on top of the offering of hope, okay, so this is like, offering of hope is like $52,000 of icing on top of the cake. You already, as a part of your weekly giving in your offering, you already gave $130,000 towards missions. So you put the other $50,000 on there, and you're like getting really close to $200,000 that we use to give away foreign, local, all around the world, missionaries, evangelists, teachers, preachers, I mean, prison ministry, all these different types of things. And so, but when we started this idea and laid this idea before you as a congregation, it was a dual purpose, okay? So, I mean, that's really exciting, super exciting that we were able to do that and do those things in our community. But we also had another purpose, and that was to pay off some of our debt. We owe, beginning of the year, this year, I'll share that number with you in just a minute. But we were able this year, because we had some year-end gifts of some people that wanted to pay directly towards our debt. Remember, our initial goal, see, this blows me away. Our initial goal was $100,000, right? To just give to debt, not giving any money away. So just make sure you got that straight. We were going to take $100,000, keep it all for ourselves, all right? We said, no, we're going to take in $100,000, give half of it away. And so we took in $135,000. We took in more after that. And so we were able this year, after the offering of hope, through the end of the year, to make a principal payment of $99,414.83. So you should be warm now, all right? So we began 2009 with a debt of $1,278,878.20, okay? And so we would have never imagined that this year, as of this morning, we literally like Wednesday afternoon, the financial secretary, Darlene, at the office, she said, we are like this close to being below a million. And I said, we got to find the money in the budget. Okay. So we made a payment on Wednesday. We don't know where we're paying it from. No, I'm just kidding. We had a place to take it from. We made a payment of $12,000. So now we owe $999,291.42 on our debt. That means in a year of an economic downturn and our local economy, 13.5% unemployment, we were able to pay off $279,000+ on our debt. Above and beyond our budget, on our debt, we were able to pay that incredible amount of money off. And you know what? As I read through these numbers, as I was sitting there preparing, I was like, this just is impossible. I mean, this is absolutely impossible. In all that I'm hearing and all that I'm seeing, this number, these things just can't be right. I went back and looked at them again. Sure enough, they stayed the same. Okay, looked at them again, and they were still the same. And I was just simply amazed. But I want us this morning, as we look at this year, I don't want anybody in this building, okay, if you're new with us or you've been here for your entire lives, I don't want anybody in this building to go, oh, you're just proud of the money that you took in this year. This has nothing to do with the dollar amounts. To me, this has everything to do with our obedience. This has everything to do with our obedience, okay? This year may not be the same. At the end of 2010, we may say, wow, we really came way under. If we're obedient, God will use it. If we will be obedient, God will do what He wants to do with it, and God will disperse it in places. And so this year, we were able to do some phenomenal things, and I believe it's truly because we were faithful, and you were faithful, and you were obedient. And I just pray as we look at this, next year, that we come into this next year with an attitude of thanks. And I know some of you in this room, you say, man, I don't have a lot to be thankful for in 2009. It was a terrible year. It was a rough year. But I want us to look this morning at a passage of Scripture, and I want us to see that we do indeed have the ability and have reason to be thankful. Even in the middle of tough times, even in the middle of great times, we have the opportunity to be thankful to God. So this morning, in just a moment, we're going to turn to a passage of Scripture. If you got your Bibles, you may already want to turn there to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. It's a good time, Charlie. You gave me extra time because, I'm only on page 3 and there's 27 pages. Just kidding. just 7. Instead, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture because I want us to step into this year being so thankful. And as we sang that song, Jesus Paid It All, I wonder if we really grasp that Jesus paid it all. I mean, do you really grasp that you were dead in your sins and God sent His Son to this earth and He paid for your sins a punishment? I mean, do you really grasp that this morning, this cold, frigid morning? Did you really wake up thinking, Jesus paid it all? It's all paid for. I have that to be thankful for. So we're going to read this morning from a passage of Scripture by a man many of us know, written by a man named David. David, we also know, is a guy, the young man, slingshot, killed Goliath. We also know David, Bathsheba. We know the whole story. We know his whole scandalous history. But we also know he was anointed as a king. And months ago, we talked about a moment where David had the opportunity to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into the possession of the Israelites, back into Jerusalem, back to where it was supposed to be. And so he had this opportunity to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into their midst. Now, let me explain something again. The Ark of the Covenant was this golden box, and I won't go into all the details of it, but it was this box, and it was given to them, and this represented God's presence among them, So whoever had the Ark of the Covenant believed and did, as we will read here in Scripture, believed God was with them. God was on their side. And this was a very powerful thing. Believed, as you read through Scripture, Old Testament, several times, people would reach out and touch it. They would die. Much more powerful than Indiana Jones made it in his movie, okay? Much more important and significant, okay? But the presence of God was in this Ark of the Covenant. And now David has the opportunity to bring this thing back into his midst as the king of the people of God. But there's a moment as they're moving it There's a moment as they're moving it that I want you just to understand the significance of this that actually take place. You don't have to turn there in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 9. There was a moment where somebody that was helping carry it and the donkey stumbled and he reached out to kind of settle it. This gentleman did, and when he did, he was struck dead. He didn't touch the Ark of the Covenant. It was the presence of God. It was holy. God presided there. It was a serious, serious issue. You stayed away from it. And it says this in verse 9, 2 Samuel, verse 6, chapter 6. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the Ark of the Lord ever come to me?" I mean, I'm scared of this thing, David's saying. I don't understand why in the world this thing's going to be in my presence. I mean, it has the ability, if you touch it, you die. If you handle it the wrong way, you die. If you don't do the right things, if you do the right things, it blesses you. And I mean, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this Ark of the Covenant? And so he decides to build a tent, a temporary resting place for the Ark of the Covenant. And this morning, I want to do something, if you've got your Bibles, but it's also going to be on the screen today. We're going to read a passage of Scripture, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and we're going to begin in verse 8. And I'm going to ask you, we don't ever do this very often, but I'm going to ask you this morning, because we have a lot of reason to give thanks, I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning, and we're going to read this entire praise that David offers to God this morning, all right? So it's going to be on the screen here. It's a long one. Stick with me, all right? Remember, we're reading God's Word, not a boring novel. So let's give it some oomph this morning. You ready? Verse, you got it up there for me? There we go. Here we go. "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory is His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. O descendants of Israel, His servant. O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones." Stick with me. "He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word He commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered far from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake He rebuked kings. Do not touch My anointed ones. Do My prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and the most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. All the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and joy in His pleasant place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. You may be seated. I want you to, in just a minute, we're going to look at some of these. But here's what took place. The Ark of the Covenant shows up. It goes into the tent, the temporary place that David has built for it. And David, before he lets anybody go home, this is what he says to them. This is his pronouncement. This is his song. This is his praise. This is his thanksgiving, because he recognizes that in the midst of them, he recognizes the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. You know what? We need to rejoice. We need to be thankful. And this morning, I want us to see in this passage of Scripture, and maybe you need to take that home and you need to print it out. Maybe you need to highlight it. Maybe you need to read through it a gazillion more times, because you're going to see in this passage in a few minutes just so many things that we have reason to be thankful for. And I realize that you have difficulties, and I realize that you guys have struggles, and I know that there's all types of issues in this room. But I want us to see and be reminded from David's words that we also have great and incredible reasons to be thankful today. Not just some offerings that were taken up, but some things that are far greater than that, that exist in our daily lives. The first thing I want us to see is we should remain thankful because of who God is and who He will be. In this passage of Scripture, you notice some things and you read some things that David says about God. He says He's strong. He's mighty. He's great. He's good. He deserves our praise. He also states in there, he's the same yesterday, today, forever. He also states that the trees are going to rejoice with this message. The earth is going to shout this message. And he's starting off by saying, listen, don't ever forget, in these first few verses, don't ever forget how great God is and how great God will be. Don't forget to thank Him for all the things that He has already been to you. Are you thankful for who God is? Are you really thankful for who God is this morning? As you read through this, are you thankful for what Jesus has done for us? Are you thankful for what God has done for us? Are you thankful for His strength? Are you thankful for His power that gets you through some days and you didn't even know you had the power in you? You didn't even know what to say or how to make it through the day. Have you stopped and said, God, in the middle of all the difficulties in life, I want to be thankful. I want to be thankful. And David is one to attest. I mean, after he had some major blunders in his life, there's some other things that took place and some other things. And he continued through his life to say, God, I've made my mistakes. I've done some things wrong. God, I'm going to stay thankful. Are you entering this year, looking back on last year, but looking for this next year, going, God, I'm thankful for what you did in 2009, but I'm already thankful for what you're going to do and who you are in this upcoming year? He goes on to say, and I want to just kind of put it this way, we can never forget what God has done and is doing for us. Verse 19 through 23 say this, when they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. These are the people of God, God's chosen people. They're just a few in number. They're going place to place to place. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake He rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. One of the things I was reminded of this week in preparing for upcoming sermons is, do you know that God has protected you from things that you never knew happened? I mean, things that happened around you that God has protected you from that you never knew they happened because He protected you from them. I mean, do you follow that? You know, it could be that some accident took place right down the road and you've had those moments where you've gone, well, if I'd have left 7 seconds early from my house, that would have been me. But what about the many accidents you go, or the many situations you go, you know what? I didn't even know they existed and God has protected me. I didn't even know what was going on around me and God has protected you. We tend to think in the here and now. We tend to think of what's going on around us. But stop and think of all the things that are taking place in our world and stop and say, I can't even fathom what God is continuing to protect me from. What He is already doing in my life. What He's already done for you. And not only what He's already done for you in the past, but what He's going to continue to do for you. This passage says, listen, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day after day. And I think we could keep adding that. Have we gotten to the point, and I know for me as a pastor, but just as a person, there's a lot of days that I don't wake up thinking about the greatness and goodness of God and His salvation in my life. But Scripture tells us, David tells us, as he kind of puts together a collection of different verses of different other songs that he sung, and he puts them all together in this passage. In verse 23, he says, sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim His salvation day after day. I mean, every single day. We come in on Sundays and we sing, Jesus paid it all. We sing it kind of with half our hearts. I'm not trying to pick on you because I'm picking on me too. And we kind of sing and we go through the motions. And Scripture says, if you're going to do that, sing to the Lord with all of everything that you are, day after day. Don't change because it's January the 3rd and it's cold. Don't give me halfway on January 3rd because it's cold. Just don't do anything at all if that's what you're going to do. But on January 10th, I want you to worship me. January 17th, those are all Sundays, just by the way, because my brain thinks in Sundays because I'm a preacher, okay? January 24th, all right, January 31st, got to keep on going. And you think in all these dates and you think of all these Sundays, but listen, it's not just a Sunday episode. He doesn't just say, sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim His salvation Sunday after Sunday. What does He say? Day after day. He's never forgotten you. The things, the difficulties in your life, He hasn't left you alone. He's still there for you. Look at what He's done in your life. Look back on some of the moments in your life as you begin this year to say, I've forgotten. I've forgotten that He allowed me to be a part of my parents' life in a time where they were passing away, even though it was a tragic time. But He allowed me to be a part of their lives and be a part of that. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He's allowed me to be a part of, even for a short time, a child's life. I'm thankful for that. It's difficulty, a loss, but I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that even though this past year in 2009 we took up the offering of hope and I only had 10 bucks to put in the offering or I had 50 cents, I'm thankful that I had something to do. I'm thankful for every single thing, what He's done for us, but what He's going to continue to do for you. And so I ask you another question. Have you forgotten all that God has done and is doing for you? When you could do nothing for yourself spiritually, when you were lost in your sin, He had already done the work. Think about that. When you came to Him, whether you were 8, maybe you were 58, and you came to a point and you realized you had sin in your life and you needed to repent and you needed to come to Him and say, God, I need Your salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Guess what? He didn't just start doing the work then and go, oh, okay, now I'm going to respond. He'd already done it. Day after day after day, we should be thankful for the salvation, not just the monetary things. Those are just things on the side. Those are wonderful, but through the obedience, we'll keep doing that. But God, we forget all that stuff. We want to thank You for our salvation. I want to thank You for what You've done for me day after day after day. But too often, we forget what God has done for us. If I were to ask you this morning what your closest person, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a parent, maybe they got you a Christmas present this year, you can remember what it is, or at least you better pretend that you can remember what it is. Say, what was your best present this year? And you can remember what it is. And then if I said, hey, tell me what your best five presents were the last 5 years, go back and tell me the last 5 years. You couldn't remember the last five. Because you know what? They're temporary, and they're fleeting, and they're small, and really, they're insignificant. Really, they make no difference in eternity. They're really just things that go on our shelves and later on, as Scripture tells us, moth and dust and rust just collect on them. They're just insignificant. But Scripture tells us, listen, when you were few in number, when you were downtrodden indeed, God didn't allow anybody to harm you. He protected you. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day after day. So we must continue to thank God as individuals and as a congregation. That's what I want us to be in 2010. I want us to be thankful for every single offering, for every single mission trip, for every single trip. I mean, our college students are in Atlanta right now having an incredible time worshiping and just being charged up for this year. I want to be thankful for moments like that. I want to be thankful for moments where we struggle maybe financially and say, man, we got to collectively work together. Let's do this. Let's see what God has in store for us. I want to be thankful when somebody steps into the baptistry and they've turned their lives around and they and their spouse, which we did this on Christmas or 23rd, you know, a husband and wife standing there in the baptismal pool together saying, we want to take a stand as a couple. We want to be baptized. We realize we need to follow through with this. I want us to be thankful. I don't want us to miss a thing this year. I don't want you to miss a thing. When things are at home or difficult and you're able to finally pay the bill, I want you to be thankful for it. When somebody helps you out to pay the bill, I want you to be thankful for it. When somebody gives a gift and comes to us at church and says, hey, we want you to have this, we want you to celebrate this, we want to be thankful for it. When somebody goes on a mission trip that's never been on a mission trip before and comes back and God has absolutely invaded their heart and they want to go back, I want us to be thankful for it. When the prison ministry in Davidson County, when we give money to him and he leads someone to Christ that spent their life in difficult times and they come to Christ, I want us to be thankful for it. I don't want us to walk around 2010 and go, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Are you kidding me? We have to remain thankful as individuals and as a congregation. For when the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, came into their midst, right after David did some radical dancing, which you can read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 6, all the little boys will be like, I got to read that now, okay? The pastor pointed that out, okay? He did some crazy things, danced, okay? His wife didn't like it, bad situation, but he continued to do it because the Ark of the Covenant was there. And now he says, listen, before you go anywhere else, I want you to make sure that you understand we are going to stay thankful as people of God. And I'm going to do that for you this year. We're going to stay thankful to God for whatever He does in our midst, however He moves, whatever He does in your lives, to be thankful. For whatever challenges present themselves, somehow to muster up and say, God, thank you for this challenge and this difficulty. Thank you for what you're going to do in my life through this. Thank you. I thank you for what you're going to do. Because it goes on. And David says this in the latter part of this verse. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Let's read this again together. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out. Now, before we read this, when you read this word cry out, it doesn't mean like a baby crying out. It means like let it loose, okay? Like scream out, like proclaim it to the top of your lips, okay? I don't know if you've ever been to a major sporting event. Anybody been to a major sporting event with where there were 25,000 people or more? All right, okay, most of us, all right? And when somebody scores an insignificant touchdown that does not matter in eternity, what do? We cheer and we go absolutely crazy and we scream. We come home and your wife says, how's the game? And you go, I don't know. I can't talk anymore. Why? Because I scream my brains out for a game that doesn't matter tomorrow. Okay? Now, when you come to that, when you come to Jesus and you come to God, let's get real, okay? Verse 35. Cry out. Save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Be thankful. God didn't bring us this far for us to say, this is what He did last year, and He's not going to do anything in the next year. No, that's not what He says. He says, day after day after day, be thankful. Give thanks to the Lord for what He has done. And He says, cry out, save us, O God. You are our Savior. Gather us, deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may give glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord our God, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Bible translation, that means forever. Okay, that's just the short version of it. Praise be to you forever and ever. And notice what the people did. They didn't just go, oh, that's great, David. We appreciate your words. Oh, David, that was meaningful and that was powerful. Then all the people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. So here's what I want us to do this morning. I want you to pretend you're at a football game. Okay? And I want you to stand up. Okay? This was not planned. Okay? I'm going to read these last few verses. Okay? Then all the people said, and you're going to say, and, okay, but I'm not going to help you. You got to do that on your own, okay? So for the moment, I'm David. You're the congregation. Ready? Here we go. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name, that we may glory in Your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said,
Amen.
Absolutely. You guys, we come this morning with the opportunity, week in and week out, day in and day out, don't sit down, day in and day out, to praise the Lord, not just half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly for what He's done and what He's going to continue to do. And shame on us if we ever walk into this building, we say, I just don't know if I feel like being here. Praise be to the Lord for His salvation. Praise be for Him for all of His works. Let's pray. God, I thank You and I praise You, for You alone are worthy of our praise. God, there's some people in here this morning who've never visited with us this morning. They think we're absolutely crazy. And that's okay. Because God, we love You. And yes, God, I am amazed at the faithfulness of Your people in 2009. Blown away. I've shared that story with several pastors. And one of the pastors said, I wish my church was ready for that. God, may we be thankful to You day in, day out. Why? Because of all You've done, because of who You are, because of how powerful You are, how mighty You are. God, how wonderful You are. The trees and the earth rejoice, they celebrate. So God, we now have the opportunity this morning, God, to praise You, to rejoice with You, to say, praise the Lord, God, for what You've done in our lives. So, God, we come to this morning for this invitation. And, God, there may be someone here this morning that says, listen, I don't have any reason to be thankful because I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Can I just tell you this morning, today is your day to turn from your life that you've had and say, I need a Savior. I need someone who will help me, that will guide me, that will protect me, that will lead me. I'm not saying leave an easy life, but will lead me and be beside me. God, I need You. God, this morning I'll be here waiting. But God, this morning, may we just rejoice. May we be thankful. Say amen and praise the Lord, for God, for what You're doing. You are in our midst. David had a box, the Ark of the Covenant, that represented God. But God, You tell us in the New Testament, we don't need anything else but You coming into our lives. You are a part of each of us. The presence is in us. You're here, right here in our midst. You're here today. God, may we honor You with our singing. May we honor You with our actions, with our lives. God, may we live out thankfulness each and every day. God, may those who need to come and just say, God, prepare me for this upcoming year. I just need to kneel and pray, and maybe they need to grab somebody to pray with them. God, may we just be faithful this morning, obedient this morning, thankful, ready to do what You call us to do. In Jesus' name.